WTFR.
We are sick and tired of the New York media dominating and controlling the news around the world. We are sick and tired of having to keep silent as the white genocide continues. Well, we're not remaining silent anymore. Scream from the fucking rooftops with Mike Sledge here on News White People Can Use, where truth and real news is called anti-Semitic. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. News White People Can Use, not with Mike Sledge tonight. Unfortunately, what happens is he's been taken away with work, and this happens occasionally. There's going to be times where us hosts are going to have to fill in for each other, and if worse comes to worse, we'll play a repeat. But I don't like doing that. I don't like going back to the Oracle days and playing a repeat. I like to actually keep consistency. I was talking with Josh this evening and was actually saying that one of the best things you can do is keep consistency, meaning even if it's not the actual host of the show, at least people can know that they can still listen to News White People Can Use live. Even if the host isn't there, they still get a live show. And consistency is everything. Radio is repetition, and radio is consistency. We've always got to have a show running live as much as we possibly can so we can keep up with current events and everything like that. Now, Mike will more than likely be doing a Saturday Sledge to perhaps comment on what we're going to be discussing tonight. And when I say where instead of I, it's because I do have Josh with us tonight. He said that he was able to come on and do the first hour, possibly the second, just depends on his circumstances. We'll see where things go. Josh, do we have you there, sir?
Yep, I'm here, Sean. Can you hear me okay?
I can hear you fine. How you doing?
I'm doing well.
That's the way. So Josh will be doing a weekly show here on WTFR, which will be on Wednesday from 9 to 11 p.m. EST. You're EST, aren't you, Josh? Josh?
Yes, I am. Hang on.
Okay. All right. So 9 to 11 EST, we will have him on your Wednesday, which will be my Thursday. So there you go. We've got another host. And a good host, too. You've heard him and I in a backwards and forwards discussion in the past, even though it was pre-recorded, because we sort of talk to each other like it's a CB setup, right? Quite often he's on his phone with Skype on his phone, and I'm on my phone with Skype on my phone, so we just send messages back to each other, audio messages, and it sounds like a CB conversation. If you didn't get to hear that, go back to the last TCTA, the latest TCTA and have a bit of a listen, by all means. So we're going to be talking up a storm this evening. Josh sounds like he might be preoccupied at the moment. I'm not sure, but
I'm good. I'm here. Sorry.
Are you there? Okay. All right. Cool. Yeah. I wasn't sure. You know, Josh, tonight, my this afternoon, you and I were talking about people that just say it as they see it and how that can be offensive and everything like that to others. I want to discuss this a bit further right here on air. Are you comfortable with that?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. So what happens is Josh and I were talking about how, you know, one of his relatives or friends, one of the two, they're very outspoken. And as people know, I'm one of the worst for it when it comes to, you know, standing in line at a shopping mall or something like that. And then, you know, you've got somebody who starts talking in a certain way, and I go, I'm very sorry, I couldn't help but over hear what you were saying, and I think I just have to call bullshit. Or, you know, when the bit, you know, it ain't over till the fat lady sings. You know, that big fat lady story I've told so many times, ladies and gentlemen, where I was in Kmart with my children, and my son and daughter had to, feel so uncomfortable because I called this lady fat, because she was. And I was told the story about the fat lady that got onto that minibus. Oh, that one, I'll never forget. Yeah, you know, Josh, I've got to say that we really do need to start saying it as we see it. We're too late in the game. Once upon a time, it might have called for a little bit of empathy here and there and a bit of sympathy here and there. Like, you've got this big fat blubbery whale getting onto a bus, like, and then the bus sort of leans, sways to the left. You know, like the start of the Flintstones, he gets into the bloody dinosaur thing, the car made out of dinosaur bones and that, and it flips over. Well, that's what I've had to witness occasionally, where the bus almost tipped over. And I'm exaggerating, of course. I'm having a bit of fun. But seriously, I think, you know, as I was telling you, my daughter that day, she said, "Dad, you called that woman fat." I said, "'Cause she is fat, sweetheart. And if we tell her she's fat, then perhaps she'll do something about that. She'll think, well, I am fat." She'll come to grips with the fact that she's a beluga whale, and that if she, you know, doesn't seek water soon, she's going to die. But anyway, what happens is, I said, "So, sweetie, look, she'll probably go and lose some weight now, knowing that there's going to be people out there that are going to say, 'No, you don't look pretty in that dress. You're fat. You're not just fat. You're fucking fat. You're a fucking fat fucking fatty.'" And then she'll go out and save herself. Now, of course, I didn't say those words to my daughter, right, Josh? But yeah. Anyway, yeah, your thoughts, Josh. I mean, like, when it comes to, why are we lying to people's faces? Like, I can understand white lies. For instance, if I'm in my house and I'm having sex and someone knocks on my door halfway through that, When they say, "Oh, I knocked on your door earlier, but you didn't answer, or you weren't home," I'm not going to say, "Oh, no, I was home. I was having sex." You know what I mean? So I can understand white lies. But when it comes to people that need to start looking after themselves instead of becoming a beluga whale, I think we need to start, like, seriously, when it comes to race, fatties, homos, LGBTQHIVAS, we need to start telling the truth.
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of it is because most of us probably grew up, if we didn't grow up religious as Christians, we grew up in a Christian society. So we grew up, turn the other cheek, you know, let's just be polite. And sure, I got no problem with being polite. I've got no problem with I don't want to say turning the other cheek, but I've got no problem being polite and holding my tongue when it's necessary. But sometimes it's necessary not to hold your tongue. Sometimes it's necessary to speak out. And I've never, you told the fat woman story. I've never been in that situation, but I've been around a lot of fat people, and I'm just like, to God, I mean, they sit down and you're worried about the furniture. Literally, you're like, "Oh God, they're going to break the chair. They're going to break the couch. They're going to," I swear to God, man. We had some guests stay with us, about a year or so ago, and, huge. Huge.
You see, this is called filtering. See, you're still filtering. You're just sort of like, "Huge," instead of going, "Yeah, they were fat fucks."
Well, yeah, no, I know. Okay. Well, again, it's just my language. I can't think of the right term to use. Fat fuck doesn't cut it. No. There's got to be another word. I've got to come up with another word. I don't know. God damn it.
You know what?
Beluga whales. Hippos. They were hippopotamuses. This was a mother and daughter that stayed with us
Yeah.
for a brief period.
Yeah, no, I'm funning with you. I'm funning with you. What happens is, I know. And you know what? If people want to know what real child abuse is, it's when, because a mother is fat, she feeds the same junk to her daughter. And that comes out. You want to know a real funny one? Here's one. Now, this is where I was filtering, right? Because I've had my fair share of filtering. I'm just over it now, and I'm just a brutal motherfucker. What happens is, my little girl was playing on, you know, when you're walking through those laneways, when you're checking out of the, what we call the supermarket. What happens is I was paying for my stuff, and she was swinging on that little pole that's right beside the, checkout. And I said, you just be careful, young lady, because you're going to hurt yourself. And then all of a sudden she starts looking over my shoulder and she says at the top of her lungs, Dad. And I thought, oh no, she's seen something. I can see that look on her face. Why is that Asian so fat? So I turn around and thankfully I know the guy. I turn around and I go, oh, how you going, Sean? What's going on? He goes, oh, not doing too bad, Sean. How are you? And I said, I'm very sorry about that. He goes, I am fat, Sean. So
yeah,
he used to come into Entertainment Australia, which is what I worked for, the business I worked for at the time. And he used to hire these games and everything and get computers fixed there. But you know what? Kids, they have no filter. And I sort of went back to that. I went back to this. No, like for instance, as you said, there's a mother with a child. The mother's fat. The child fat. I would not say to the child at all. I wouldn't even dare to say, you know what, you're fat. But to the mother, I would take her aside and say, listen, you're fat, and this doesn't give you the justice to make your daughter fat to make you feel better. Knock that off. Start feeding her healthy foods in the right measures. Give her a good diet. Don't let her end up what you are. You should know by your experience of being fat. And I'm not talking about just a little bit of plumpness when after a woman's had a baby or something like that. That comes with after right. having a baby and all of that. I'm talking about the beluga whales, the big things that are like...
They got rolls on top of rolls that you don't know where anything ends and begins.
Exactly.
Like, you're like, is that your... Are those your tits? No, those are my ankles or
right?
whatever.
It's or what
just like,
they,
motherfucker.
Or what they often call the cankles, which is...
Cankles, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's just like the couple that we had here. It was a mother and daughter, and, you know, they stayed with us briefly. I don't want to get into how they even... I don't even know how they got... it's just like one of those things like, oh, shit, they're here. Next thing you know, wait, you're moving your stuff in? What and I guess almost 9 months to a year later is like, okay, it's time for you guys to skedaddle.
Anyway,
the same way, same fucking way. They were every bit of 300 plus a piece, Sean.
Oh shit,
300 pounds. I don't know what that is in kilos.
No, I know. I roughly know. I roughly know what that's about. Yeah, that's big. That's the same as this Asian guy I was talking about. And I said to my daughter, and I was filtering at the time back then. I went, young lady, you will go out and stand with your brother right now. And she was like, daddy, and I was like, go on, because I thought, geez, you know, kids. They don't filter, and I've sort of gone back to the...
Sorry? I was going to say, they have no filter. It kind of gives a whole new meaning of that old biblical passage when Jesus says, be like little children. Okay, so no filter. Got it.
I refuse to do the filter thing now. So when people... Look, this is how I look at it. I'm not going to go out of my way to say to a fat person, you're fat. But if they're going to ask me a question, like that woman I was talking about, where she said, do you think this dress makes me look big? Well, she asked a question. I'm going to answer it honestly. And it might be brutal to her, but it's just honest to me. And I've grown up in a very rough environment. So what happens is I just walked straight up to her and I said, no, you're fat. You don't look good. There's nothing that dress can do for you. You're doomed. Go and get some Jenny Craig shit happening, or find a better diet in your own way, and then come back to me with a nice dress, and then I'll be the first one to say to you, you look beautiful. And this woman, she looked like she had the potential to be beautiful. She actually had, like, even though she had a really plump, fat face like Santa Claus, without the beard, she actually looked like she had the potential to be beautiful. But the thing is, there's nothing that dress could have done for her. It was just not going to happen.
Set Free just sent something in the chat. He sent a link for an article or a website or a show on TLC. God, I didn't think TLC was still a thing. I haven't watched TV in forever. Well, not these kind of shows, but it's called My Big Fat Fabulous. And
hold on. Repeat.
Can
you repeat that, Josh? Can you repeat that because you cut out?
Oh shit! Yeah. Can you still hear me?
I can hear you. I can hear you. The thing is, you cut out when you mentioned the name of the big fat something. Yeah.
Oh yeah. Yeah. It says My Big Fat Fabulous Life. Set Free wrote in the comment, he said, "This creature is just lovely. We are supposed to support this and agree that they are beautiful and desirable." Holy shit. And you click on it, click on the link. The woman on the cover, okay, so like what you were saying, Sean, she looks like, looking at her face doesn't look that bad, right?
Yeah.
The rest of her is just, you know, and it's not just, oh, she's got a belly. No, you can tell. Good God, the cellulose in her the dress does not hide those monstrous thighs. Jesus Christ! Oh my God, you can see it underneath the dress. How big those fucking thighs are!
Yeah,
and I'm not one to like outright, like you said, I'm not going to go out to a fat person. My wife's fat, but she's not like that. You know, she's got a belly because she's had she's had a kid, and she's just a hefty girl.
She's probably she's probably plump, not fat. See, there's a big difference between plump and fat. You know, being a bit plump after having a child is quite natural, in fact. There's ways you can get around it, but if you don't have like, for instance, if they're a full-time mother and they're worrying about the child and having to run a, it's quite often just it's just they don't have time to. Some people don't have time to do yoga or exercise or anything like that. Then they might get to it later.
Yeah.
But you know, no, I know plump and I know fat. They're two different things.
Well, yeah, I mean, if you look at this again, if you look at this woman, if you just zoom in on her face, you're like, okay, she doesn't look that bad. She has the potential to be absolutely gorgeous.
Yeah.
If she lost about 300 pounds. And then when you get you don't have to, once you get past her neck, because her neck doesn't even look that bad. But once you get to her, you see how big her arms are.
Yeah.
And then you just see everything else just.
Yeah.
And then what's sad is you look down to her feet and her ankles. Her ankles don't even look that bad. You can see the cankles there. But it's like her. Her feet are too big for her damn shoes. You got to see this picture, Sean. You got to see what I'm looking at to understand. Yeah, that unfortunately I see that a lot everywhere. It's just it's crazy.
Yeah, and, I'm just about to take a look at this the link now. I quite often don't just holy crap, yeah. Holy crap. You know those
yeah, Set Free says plump is acceptable. 600 pounds is crazy.
You know, it's entitled My Big Fat Fabulous Life. Okay, yeah, it's fabulous until all of a sudden you have a heart attack that puts you through so much fucking pain it's not funny, and then you drop dead in front of your children. It's not so fabulous then.
Yeah, I remember when TLC would do shows on people that were morbidly obese as a cautionary tale. Now they're celebrating it. You know, they used to do shows about people that were like well over 300, 400, 500 pounds. One guy was 1,000 fucking pounds, and they had to tear down his wall and bring in a fucking a heavy lifter to get him out of his house to get him to the hospital.
Yeah,
they used to showcase these stories as cautionary tales to tell people, hey, don't be like this. Now they fucking celebrate it, Sean, and I'm like,
I know.
You know, again, like what. A common sense person would say, okay, you got a little belly fat or you got a beer gut, but otherwise you're pretty healthy. You're in, you know, it's sometimes it's just your build. Understandable. People are heftier than others.
Yeah, exactly. Damn. Look, it can come down to build for sure. Even when some women work out and they work out hard and they do the job, they're still a little hefty. Here's the thing though. Did you ever hear the episodes that Gadsden and I did about the guzzlers? The guzzlers are where what happens, get this, Josh, it'll blow your fucking mind. What happens is, they're called the fun, we call them the funneling fatties. What they do is they put a funnel in their throat and their skinny ass boyfriend comes up and starts pouring a mix of all kinds of crap down their throat. Like literally just pouring, fats of all kinds because these girls' goals are to get the fattest they possibly can because they love eating and love funneling. So you've got this skinny ass boyfriend, and I'm not against being skinny, but it seems that a lot of skinny guys like to go for the fatties because then they know that the fatty would never cheat on them or something like that. There's something weird about it. But you've got this skinny ass boyfriend that she could swallow whole, no less, and he sticks this funnel down her neck, and then he pours this mix of, it's like a milkshake with banana and pure sugar and all of this other shit so that she can get fatter and fatter. And this fat slob of a whale. No, I wouldn't even call her a whale. You know, a whale has got better moral value. It's naturally big. But this thing is just trying to get itself unnaturally big in every way, shape and form. And I will say this though, even though I won't accuse the whale, I will say this though about the fat funneling fatties, is that you could, if she entered the ocean, you would hear, woo, right? She has become a whale. Holy crap.
See, a whale is a majestic animal, so yeah. I don't want to really demonize a whale.
Exactly.
A hippopotamus, however, is sold to us as cute and cuddly, but they will fucking kill you. They are vicious animals, and they are hunted because they're vicious in Africa. So it's more akin to saying that these people are goddamn hippos.
Absolutely.
Because the media is now selling them as cute and cuddly when they're fucking vicious to themselves, and many of them can be bitchy.
They've literally, hippos yeah. have literally eaten people. Like,
yeah.
munched
yeah.
the shit
yeah, that's
out
the thing.
Of people.
I mean, yeah. It's like polar bears. We think polar bears are cute and cuddly. No, they will fucking tear you to shreds, worse than a grizzly.
Yeah, yeah. They'll crush you before they finally just put their whole jaw over the top of your head and crush it like a lemon.
Yeah, I would not want to die that way.
Nor I.
At all.
Yeah.
At all. I will say this about the women. To be fair, I would rather spend my time, if I was single and at a bar, I would rather spend, even if I'm not looking for any action, I would rather spend my time at a bar drinking with a girl that's plus size, with a great attitude and a great personality, than a good-looking girl that's a bitch any day.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But,
and quite commonly.
But if that plus-size girl happens to be a bitch, well, she's shit out of luck.
I agree with you there. I would like a girl that's a bit bigger in size. Like, I wouldn't go for a beluga, but
no.
but the thing is, I would like a girl that's a bit bigger in size that can have a good attitude than some. And quite commonly these days, you've got a lot of girls that, because they're good looking, they know that they can get any bloke they want. And they can be bitches because most of the dumb shit guys these days will go out with a bitch just to be able to have the good looking girl. Which is, if you have half a brain about you, you'd say, well, no, I'd rather go for the girl that's a little bit bigger, a little plump, she's got a good personality about her, she's a racist, she's an anti-Semite, she's everything I want. Of course. I mean, these dudes that just go out with these, so-called beautiful-looking girls and then have to put up with their shit for the rest of their lives because they were good-looking or they weren't plump. Oh, you know, you're all right, deal with what you have to deal with. But, you know, you're going to reap the fucking whirlwind at the end of the day.
It's like, and it's the opposite. The opposite goes the same way with the women. They're so vain. And they want to go out with a good-looking guy who might be good-looking, but he's some of these guys aren't good-looking. I'm just saying they got nothing going for them. They look like complete fucking douchebags. And then when you meet them and you know how they act, they are complete fucking douchebags. But the girl stays with them. And meanwhile, and I mean, this is like high school drama type shit, but you know, you got their best friend who's trying to been trying to get with him since frickin' seventh grade and shit. Oh, we're just friends. And the kid gets, quote, friend zoned. He'll never get any pussy. Pardon the expression. He'll never get any of that ass. And, but yet she's with the dickhead that's going to treat her like shit and beat the shit out of her and get drunk one night and kill her. Because
that's just it.
And they're the kind of bitch that I wouldn't want to meet at a bar.
Yeah, that's exactly right. No, but that's just it. It's not high school bullshit. It's going on in the adult world. See,
I know. I'm saying it.
I know what you mean.
That's what I'm saying.
I know what you mean. Yeah. Here's the thing. I was walking out in front of the chemist. I've spoken about this on the show in the past. I was walking out past the chemist, and this drop-dead beautiful girl that looked about probably 20, 22, maybe 23, drop-dead beautiful girl walks out, and then all of a sudden behind her walks out this fucking Neanderthal that and grabs her by the hand, and they're walking down the street holding hands. I'm thinking, you have got, and you could even hear the way he was talking, Josh. He was sort of like, yeah, mate, yeah, what we should do is, you know, maybe we should have a barbecue down the park and, oh, yeah, well, let's take a piss off the barbecue for laughs. And I'm thinking, you've got to be joking. How did this drop-dead beautiful girl, and I thought, she has to have some brains to be able to do herself up to look as gorgeous as what she did, because she had a little makeup, not too much. She had a perfume that sent your heart to the heavens and all of this stuff, and then... But she's got her hand on this fucking woolly fucking mammoth, the human equivalent of a woolly mammoth. And I'm thinking, you've got to be joking. I felt like saying to it, darling, you really have to higher your standards. You can do better than this. You could have any man on the face of the planet. Of course, you're not going to do that, yeah. You know, unless she asks me the question, then she's in deep shit. You know,
the only thing I could think of, she either just feels like she, if she's genuinely in love with the guy, well, she, I don't know. I don't know anything about, no one knows with women. They're great. You know what? It's easier figuring out if the earth is flat, hollow, or a sphere than it is figuring out what women want.
You are going to get yourself into serious shit. You know what? There's women that listen to this broadcast. I hear what you're saying. I do. Here's the thing. You know, there's no way. Holy God, Josh, you've just opened up the can of fucking worms.
hang on. For all the ladies listening, let's say Tabitha's listening, Shield Maiden, or anyone else. Ladies, let me just say this. As a guy, I can speak for just about every guy out there. We are sorry. We cannot figure you out. You're a damn mystery, but we love you to death.
There we go.
Now, that being said.
There we go. You just dug yourself out of the can of worms with a can opener that opens it from the inside, right? Now hear me out for a second, because we're about to come for a break, but hear me out for a second.
Okay.
That can happen with men as well. What happens is the women say, well, we can't figure you men out either. So we're being fair on both sides, no doubt about it. You gotta be careful.
If a woman can't figure us out, then there's something wrong with her. We are very simple creatures.
Well, I don't know. It depends on who you are. Some girls have said that I'm very complicated. Yeah, so, yeah, we've got to be careful in how we word things, because, you know what, if you think East Buffalo or Detroit is bad when it comes to the niggers, you start talking about certain things when it comes to the women, oh man, that's a high heel shoe to the head.
I don't buy into third or fourth wave feminism, so, you know, there are times, look, I am openly... At times, I can be very flirtatious without being a complete pig. But there are some times where, you know what? I got to be a complete fucking pig.
Yeah, same here. Yeah, yeah. I'm brutal at the worst of times. As I was discussing with you behind the scenes, when it comes to my kids having to feel my wrath when it comes to being brutally honest. We're coming up to a break, ladies and gentlemen. You are listening to News White People Can Use. We're filling in for Mike Sledge. With me is Josh, that will soon be doing a show of his own on the broadcast. We'll be right back. I got no reason, it's not too- on the network, rather, not the broadcast.
Yeah, this is Ernest P. Everson, and I'm a Christian down here in South Alabama, in the United States of America, the old Confederate states, and I just got to say, I hate this goddamn WTFR son of a bitch station. They bash Israel, the chosen people, on a weekly basis, on a daily fucking basis. I'm a God-fearing goddamn Christian son of a bitch that has multiple rounds of ammunition and semi-automatics. And fuck you and your channel if you don't support Israel and the chosen people. Fuck you and hail Donald Trump.
I go to church and I'm a really nice guy.
Yes, yes. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to News That White People Can Use. I'm your host, Gavin, and with me at the moment is Josh. I want to talk about gay ebonics.
Right fucking now. I swear to Christ, Josh. Gay ebonics. It's right up there with the nigger ebonics. You know how niggers weren't smart enough to learn proper English, so now instead of saying, hey, how are you? Or, hello, it's, yo, motherfucker, what's you up to, motherfucker? Right? Well, I want to talk about the gay ebonics. Why is it that every flamer is...
Hey, how you doing? I have to sound like this to suit the gay community.
And it's like, you know what? It sickens me. When you're sitting on a bus especially, I've discussed this in the past as well. About a year ago, I was discussing it. I had to sit on a bus, and I had to sit there and listen to this dude, not even a dude, an it, and it was sitting there,
oh, hey, how are you? Oh, yes,
and he's on his phone.
Oh, yes, and I'm on the bus at the moment, and like, and this, and like, oh, yes. Oh, it's just been, it's been such a good trip. Everybody's been so good to me. Oh, yes.
Then you've got the mega flamers in the older age groups. Oh, darling, how are you going? Oh, I just love what you've done with your curtains. And, oh, shit, look at that. Look at those beautiful glass-stained windows. It sickens to me no fucking end, Josh. Josh?
Yep, oh. I know. Oh, I know. I live, the town I live in, technically, well, live near, in my area, it is basically per capita the gayest fucking population in our area. And they say per capita, it even rivals San Francisco.
Holy crap.
Per capita, Sean.
Of course. Right. But that's
I need to make sure that's very clear.
Fucked up. That's big time fucked up.
Now, I don't know how true that is. Again, that's when I first moved down here from Southwest Virginia to this part of Tennessee. That's what people were telling me. They said, yeah, I'll go ahead and name the city. I don't care. Johnson City. They say, yeah, Johnson City is the queer capital of the United States. And I said, no, ain't it San Francisco, California? They said, not per capita. I'm like, oh, shit.
Yeah. You know, my ex actually said to me at one stage, and this is going to really make a lot of you fucking laugh or vomit, one of the two. It can be either side of the coin. what happens is my ex said to me once, she goes, you know what? We've been having a lot of bad luck lately. And I went, yeah, that's right. When it goes to, we were going out to a restaurant or, the casino or something like that to enjoy ourselves, Josh. And she said, we've been having a lot of bad luck where girls are trying to crack onto you and men are trying to crack onto me. And I said, that's right. She goes, why don't we go to a gay bar? I said, are you fucking stupid? I'm not going to a fucking gay bar. You know what I think about the homos. That's disgusting. She said, well, at least the girls aren't going to be cracking onto you and the men aren't going to be cracking onto us. Plus, you can use it as fodder for the show. You can actually go and get first-hand footage of this, you know, put your phone on and start your camera on and start recording and just have it in your pocket and record the sound of what's going on and then play it on your show. And I thought, yeah, okay, that's viable. I walked in there and it was the most disgusting fucking thing I'd ever seen. There were dudes with hands down other dudes' pants right there. It's not like a normal nightclub where, you know, you've got girls dancing with men and everything like that. This was, they had their hands down each other's pants. I said to my ex, I said, this is gross. And what happens is then we realized the hard truth of it. She had the girls trying to crack onto her and the men trying to crack onto me. So I walked out and yeah, I walked out half drunk and I just fucking vomited. I cleared the tram tracks or what you call the trolley tracks. Yeah, those trains that drive on the road. I was like, bleh! I said, I'm getting the fuck out of here. I said, this is disgusting. And a cop pulls up beside the car and here I am with my head out the car, Josh. Bleh! Bleh! I said, I knew I should never have fucking listened to you. That was the worst idea on the face of the fucking planet. I was much younger then, but still, it's one of those things that I really regretted. I was like, oh, why did I even fucking indulge in that? Fuck.
I would never. I don't. You couldn't pay me to go into a bar like that. I don't even like going into regular bars or even night. Well, let me rephrase this. There are no regular bars. Not even in this. We don't have. I have not seen a regular bar. I mean, a real bar since I lived in Baltimore when I was a kid, when my uncle was a bartender. And it was a bar that actually let people smoke inside. They had drinks, but they also served food. And they had a pool table set up there, and they had a TV. You could watch the news or watch whatever was on TV, have a drink, have a smoke, eat a meal, and it was just a place to hang out. I haven't seen one of those down here. All they have down here are fucking nightclubs, you know?
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
We've got a lot. And there is a gay bar in our area. I don't even know where it is. I just know about it.
The good thing that came out of it was I actually got the recording of the conversation that was going on with these dirty, disgusting, fucking.
Oh, God.
Yeah. Oh, it was gross. It was really gross. The thing is, I said, see, now you see the difference. And even my ex said straight out, you're right. You were right about them all along. They really are the most perverse, pedophilic type. Like there was this, what I call a kid there that was 19 years of age. And he had like this dude that was probably 30 with his hand down his pants. And I'm thinking, so no one can tell me any different. When people say to me, oh no, Sean, homos aren't pedos and they don't become pedos. I go, fucking bullshit. I've seen it firsthand. I've seen it firsthand. They can it gave me at least that experience. After that, oh shit. Like I thought I had a bad taste about homosexuality in the first place. I really didn't until then. And that's when I really got an extreme fucking hate on for their way of life.
Yeah, I mean, I've not seen anything like that. I don't want to. But what I have seen...
No one wants to.
Okay. Yeah. So let me say this. I'm a guy. And especially as a young man and a teenager, I have delved into my share of pornography. And the Jews lie. The Jews that run the porn industry lie. Because I have not seen a single fucking lesbian that looks that damn good. Every damn lesbian I've ever met is the dykiest, butchiest, ugliest, fattest fuck I've ever seen.
You know, here's a funny one for you, Wolfie. I just called you Wolfie because you're Wolfie in the chat room. Here's another one for you, Josh. here's one for you. I was at Jimmy X's house, right? And I'm not going to mention where that is, but
right.
He said, I was down in the basement and we were repairing computers at the time. And then all of a sudden he comes running down and he says, Sean, you've got to come up. The lesbians, they're doing their thing in the backyard with no tops on. And I was like, lesbians? What, you mean like two chicks? And he says, yeah, come up and have a look. And I'm not for gayism on either side, men or women, but I don't mind seeing tits. So what happens is I run up the stairs.
I'm the same way.
Yeah, I run up the stairs and I'm thinking, oh, boobs. Oh, I'm as blokey as the next guy. Right? And I look over the fence and there's these two total huge bush dykes that are like, oh. And then they were like even hairy under the whole, and I went, oh, what ooh. The fuck? And he starts to laugh. He's walking away and he's laughing his ass. I thought, that's very funny, motherfucker. I said, I had the image of the lesbians that you see in Playboy or Penthouse or something like that back when I was a teenager. And he said, I knew you would. And he said, that's not real, dude. That's an illusion.
Yeah, it's not real at all, man.
No.
So I did a video about this, and I told this story on one of my videos. This past year on my birthday in October, I treated myself to a new video game. I don't game much, so I rarely do this. So I pre-ordered for this game. This was Borderlands 3. And I pre-ordered for this thing. I wanted the deluxe edition. So I get there. It's in the mall. I'm waiting in line for the store to open so I can get my copy because apparently this is so special. And again, this is something I never did, but it was my birthday gift to myself. I figured, why the hell not? So I get there. And it was the saddest looking group I've ever seen. Luckily, it wasn't a big crowd, but Sean, I can point these people out. See, all right, you have your 30-year-old virgins. You have the lesbian big buffalo frickin' hippopotamus couple that are playing Magic the Gathering right there on the floor waiting for the store to open. You have one what looks like to be a straight couple. They were probably, I don't want to sound like a pervert by saying they were high schoolers because I don't know, because the girl looked really good. I mean, she had legs that went on for days. She looked good.
Yeah,
and her boyfriend had receding hair. This guy couldn't have been no older than 19. I mean, receding hair. Okay. And I'm a hefty guy. All right. But there's circumstances as to why I'm kind of hefty. This guy put me to shame. So I'm sitting there going, I told my wife, I said, I don't want to be here. She's like, why not? You got to get your game. I'm like, have you seen the people in this line? I said, I am completely out of place. You know, there was one guy that was my age. He was about 30 years old. He was a flaming fucking faggot and looked like a 30-year-old virgin. And he is with this guy. The guy he was with was every bit of maybe 20-something. So he had 10 years on him, and the guy walked gay, talked gay, looked gay, everything. I can spot a faggot from a mile away, by the way they
really
walk.
You really can.
They have no sway. You know how you walk, you kind of have a swagger to you. You kind of shift your shoulders a little bit. You know, you're not out to look like a badass, but you've got pride. You've got confidence. No, his shoulders are like uptight. His arms are down to his side. They're not moving at all. I'm like, oh my fucking God. And the only other normal looking guy there, I don't even know why he was there. He didn't even look like he belonged there. He looked like he belonged at a gym somewhere. I mean, he was jacked. And I'm sitting there going, you know, if all these people in the crowd wanted to pick a fight just with me, I could take them all.
Yeah.
And then with that guy standing there who was also normal and built, you know, pretty hefty, I'm like, we would dominate this whole mall. We would just wipe them. There would be nothing left of this mall. This mall would be just screwed up.
But, yeah, and guess what?
The Jim Baker says, gays don't walk, they mince.
Oh, shit. You know, and there's another side to this, though.
I'm sitting there going, I'm sitting going, God, this is so fucking gay. And I'm sitting here kicking myself in the ass. I'm like, you're 34 years old, you jackass. Why are you waiting in line for a fucking overpriced video game, you fucking putz? God.
You know, there's another side to this as well, Josh. Even the faggots back in the 80s were more manly than the faggots today. They were being beaten up so often that they had to learn how to fight. So you take a look at the faggots in the 80s that were like I remember with a mate of mine, we were down this, we were down one of these Melbourne streets, and down an alleyway, we saw two faggots fucking passion on. And we were like, oh, you're fucking filth, you dirty fuckers. We should come over there and beat the shit out of you. And next thing you know, one of them pulls out a baton and starts running towards us. And I'm like, holy fuck, he's fucking armed. So we start to run. And I said to my mate at the time, I said, dude, you know, they have to be prepared for that shit because we beat the fuck out of them all the time. Not that I would beat the fuck out of a faggot or anything like that, in case any police are listening. But you know what I mean? Like, holy shit, they were armed and ready to rumble.
I said, hypothetically, while you're playing Minecraft, you know, you just pretend one of the villagers is a faggot and you chop him up and...
GTA 5. GTA 5?
Yeah.
You know, guess what? You know how many Jews I've shot in GTA 5? Hey, it's only a game. It's only a game.
True story. My dad knew a guy. You talk about, you know, how you and I talk. It's like we're on CB days. Yeah. My dad, when I was growing up as a kid in Baltimore, he was a CBer. And he knew somebody who was gay. When you meet the guy, you wouldn't think he was gay. He was just kind of a husky kind of guy with a beard. He was in his 50s, I think. Last time I had seen him and talked to him. But you never knew he was gay. He just didn't act it. He didn't act like a flamer. He just acted normal. Nowadays, they all act flamer. And here's what's sad, Sean. Supposed straight men act gay. Now, you talk about how older generation faggots, they could at least act tough. They could fight. Because they had to. Nowadays, they just run away. And so do the straight guys because they're so fucking effeminate. True story. When I'm 6 million... Yeah, we've killed about 6 million in GTA 5. That's a Jupe banger's like, 6 million? I don't know if I killed 6 million. I think I made about 6 million last time I played that game. Does that count?
It does indeed. But,
God damn it. Anyway, where I go martial arts, okay, I'll go there, and I haven't been there in a while, but one of the last times I was there, I was helping out, and I'm not an instructor, but I was asked to show some techniques to this kid. This is probably about 8 or 9 years ago.
Right.
This kid's about 15 years old. And I'm like, okay, I'm just going to show you basic wrist lock. Okay. And we're going to go from there. And then, you know, we'll work on throws and other joint locks and things like that. At the time, while I was working with Aikido, I went to go grab this guy's hand, and I'm grabbing it very gently. I always let, if I'm doing the teaching or the demonstrating, I always let the other person set the pace. I go by what their stress level might be or their pain.
Yeah, you're measuring what you need to do.
Right. So I very gently go to grab his wrist and turn it. The wrist lock in Aikido, Japanese term, is called a kotegashi. It could be called an outward wrist press. So I go to turn his wrist into this wrist lock. I barely apply any pressure, Sean, and he starts to freak out. Now, this kid is 15 years old, taller than me, and, you know, when I was 15, I was ready to fucking fight because I had to. I was bullied as a kid.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm like, fuck? And, you know, I see it everywhere, and I'll go into a hospital, and not even a hospital, although almost I was either talking to Tabitha or it may have been Shield Maiden at one time. I was saying how every fucking male nurse I've ever met in my life is a fucking faggot. Or at least they come off that way because they're so fucking effeminate.
A lot of hairdressers as well. I've noticed that a lot of hairdressers around Australia, as well. They all have the name.
I will say that. I will say this about the hairdressers.
Yeah.
Some of them have done a damn good job with my hair.
I don't give a shit what job they do. The fact is, they all tend to talk the same. Like, hello, what style would you like?
I can't.
What style would you like, sir? And I'm sort of like, holy crap, another one? Really?
I don't sound like a fucking cuck, but I'm like, dude, I don't care what you do in your fucking bedroom. I don't care if you're a faggot. But can you please talk normal? God damn.
No, here's the thing. Look, here's the thing. Like, I disagree with that a little, Josh, and I'll tell you why. It's because for too long we've been on this cliche of, I don't care what you do in your bedroom, but hold on a second. I do care what they're doing in the bedroom, even though it's their business, and I'll tell you why. It's because if they're fucking another man in the ass, it's not going to be long before they're going to be fucking a child. So I really do fucking care about
that. I get your point. And it's just like when they say gays can't be pedophiles. Okay, well then answer me when a supposed straight man who's married peddles a fucking boy. Is that not faggotry? It is. So shut the fuck up. No, you're right. I'm not dismissing it at all. Okay?
Yeah, yeah. No. I'm not saying you are. Hear me out for a sec. I'm not saying you are. I'm just saying that it needs to be put out there. Like, of course, you've got your point of view. I've got mine, as we know. And we do well in allowing people to hear both sides. But my point of view is this. The more, like, you take a look at George Lincoln Rockwell, Commander Rockwell, as I like to call him, because he deserves the title. He said that, yes, I had recruited certain peoples that were homosexual, but because they were basically incorporated into that filth, just like drunkards and druggos. He said, but what I was able to do was help them become straight again. He said, so I will put up with those that are no longer homosexuals, but I will not put up with those that are homosexuals, and I would gas them quicker than I would gas Jews. And I wholeheartedly believe that. Now, I want to go back to something else you said as well. You were talking about the CBers. Your dad was a CBer. I was as well. I grew up with the AM set. And I used to meet people all over the country through my CB, through the car CB, and also the CB that was in my house. And I had a massive aerial up the top and everything like that. And then when we went out, like my mates and I... Sorry?
Did you have a Cobra?
No. What was my set? My set was a... I can't remember now. I'll look it up and I'll put it on the website when we publish this show. But anyway, what happens is also the gays that you don't know about. You were talking about the gays because we've going over many subjects very quickly, so I want to sort of cover it while we're still on the subjects. What happens is you were saying there was a guy that, you know, you wouldn't even know he was gay. I met this dude in a place called Corowa, a small town called Corowa. And he seemed like just your everyday bloke. Like, you're easy to get along with, slap on the back Aussie bloke. Like, how you going, mate? Yeah, good, mate. How are you? Want to sit down for a beer sort of thing? And then what happens is all of a sudden my mother said, look, just don't bring up... She said, yeah, I know what you think of homosexuals. But please don't bring up the homosexual issue in front of Peter. And I went, why? And she said, because he's homosexual. I said, Peter is not homosexual, Mum. And she said, yes, he is. And then I approached him one day. I found him on the street. And I said, hey, listen, I heard a rumor that you're homosexual. I don't believe it, of course. But he said, oh, I am. Yeah, I am. And I went, you are? He said, yeah. He said, does that bother you? I said, are you sure you want me to answer that question? I said, you just asked me a question. I'm going to answer it. And he said, yeah, I'd like to hear your thoughts. I said, I think it's disgusting. I think it's wrong and it's immoral and it can lead to things that will bring you nothing but bad pleasures. And I think you need some cognitive thinking therapy or something to that measure to, you know, help you get away from that. And he said, well, I appreciate your honesty. And then he just walked away and he hasn't spoken to me since. But the thing is, at least nobody can say I'm not honest. You know, he asked a question. I asked him if he really wants me to answer that question. And that's where I went. Now, also, another thing you brought up was your bully thing, you know, in schools. Back in the day when we were kids, you, Josh, Mike, possibly Tabitha, like girls got bullied less than what boys did. So I don't know about Tabitha, but I mean, I know I got bullied. I think that there's an aspect to bullying that needs to happen. Now, not to the point where it happens every goddamn day and it's really brutal. Like, for instance, my son was dragged down the stairs on his back while his head hit every stair. That sort of shit is just not on. But when someone's picking on you continuously and poking and prodding you out on the school ground, and finally you work up the confidence to just go, you know what? Fuck you! Fucking bam! That's what leads to boxing. Yeah. And I think there's an aspect that's needed to that, as long as it's not on a brutal level when we're kids. But yeah, anyway, I just wanted to touch on those before we went too far over them, because you were making a lot of great points.
Yeah, no. And you made a damn good point with the bullying thing. Kids need to be bullied. And you're right. Not to the point where they're like completely getting the shit kicked out of them, like this video that I shared or a story I shared on my channel about a few weeks ago of these fucking sheboons beating up on this 15-year-old kid or 14-year-old kid on a bus and almost giving him brain damage because they slammed his head against the goddamn bus window. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about, you know, some kid picks on you in school. Don't run and go tell the teacher and cry like a little bitch. Knock his teeth out.
Yeah.
Go learn. You know, that's how I grew up. I was bullied. Now, I was bullied to the extent where when I was in seventh grade in the locker room, somebody took a combination lock for the locker, took it and used it as a weapon against me and beat the living shit out of me.
Yeah.
I mean, just whipped me in the head and the face with it. And so my dad said, that is it. I don't care if you get expelled. The next time somebody looks at you the wrong way, clock them. If they hit you, if they touch you, put them on their ass. And if they hurt you, put them in the hospital. And he meant it.
Absolutely. Yep.
Because he's like, I am not going to let you go to school and be, you know, used as a punching bag. My eighth grade year, I was homeschooled for part of it. And while I was homeschooled, after my tutor would come to the house and go through my lessons, you know, it was about 4 or 5 hours. Then he'd leave. I would do my homework. And then I'd be down in the basement hitting the heavy bag, lifting weights. And then when high school rolled around, I got a little bit bigger and people thought twice about messing with me. And I learned how to fight well. And as I've gotten older, I don't like to fight anymore like I did when I was a teenager. But I love learning martial arts. I love sparring. I'm not in the best shape like I used to be. I need to get back in shape, but I love doing that now because of the bullying. If it hadn't been for the bullying, it wouldn't have ever happened.
No, I hear you. Listen, we're coming up to the top of the second hour, ladies and gentlemen. With me is Josh. He's going to be doing a show on this network very soon. We'll see if he can stick around for the second hour or at least part of it.
I'll be here.
We'll be right back.
This is former President Bill Clinton, and I'm really fucking pissed off at the fact that Mr. Sean, a.k.a. Surplus, destroyed my career and got Jeffrey Epstein killed. I love flying on the Lolita Express with Donald Trump and getting my thing sucked by these underage girls, and now it's all shot to hell because of Mr. Sean, a.k.a. Surplus, and his goddamn show, Two's Company, Three's Allowed. We got to stop this son of a bitch. We got to stop WTFR. Fuck this shit. We got to stop these bastards. They're destroying our business. This shit's got to end now. Fuck them.
Finger in my chest.
WTFR. White people can use. This is brought to you live by WTFR. It's also brought to you live by 107.9 FM in the Victorian Alpines of Australia and, of course, 1650 AM Tonawanda, New York, thanks to the good Jimmy X and also a cluster of stations that like to go mobile around the United States. Thank you to all the hippies out there, by all means. Oh, they love it when we mention the hippies, Josh. I tell you. Speaking with Josh at the moment, Josh is going to be doing a show here very soon. He's still thinking up a name. We're not going to mention the name yet because he might have some thoughts backwards and forwards on what he's going to name it. But once he does his first show, you'll get to know the name. So it's going to be good to have you on the network there, Josh. Now, we've been talking about bullying, and one of the things that happened to my son was that he was very badly bullied, brutally. I didn't know until the last minute. What happens is, the mother of my children called me and said, Sean, this is what was happening to him. They dragged him down the stairs. I said, what's with the marks on his back? And she said, they dragged him down the stairs. By his feet.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah. So what happens is, I did the smart thing. You can't, of course, go after the little bullies because he was young at the time. So they were about his age. He would have probably been about 8, something along those lines. His mother might correct me on that. I think he was about 8. So what I did is I waited and the bully was pointed out to me. So I just waited until he got to the car after school. That his parents were driving, of course. So I walked over there and I opened the door before they could get away. And I went, get out of the car. And he said, mate, do I know you? I said, no, you don't know me. I said, get out of the car. And he goes, I'm not going to get out of the car. And I went, listen, your son has been bullying mine and he dragged him down the stairs. His head hit almost every stair on the way down and he's got marks all over his back. And I said, if your son ever touches my son again, let me make it very clear that I'm going to drag you out of your car the next time I see you. I'm going to beat the crap out of you right in front of your son. Do you understand? And he went, I'm really sorry about this. I have not been alerted to this. I said, well, the principal's going to be alerting you to it today. And he drove off. And you know what? That child never touched my son again. Now,
as parents, I mean, you got to realize, as parents, we don't know how our kids are in school. I'd like to think my kid, well, I know how my kid is here at home.
Yeah.
And trust me, my kid deserves to be drugged down the stairs. But that's another story. But I would like to think that he behaves himself in school. But I don't know.
Don't say that. So, you can't say that your kid deserves to be dragged down the stairs.
By me.
So that makes it all right, does it?
Yes. Because I'll make sure he doesn't hit his head. You know, I'll put a pillow behind his head or something. But no, I would never do that anyway. But my point is, you know, when I was being bullied, we would always get with the parents, and the parents would always be like, they would be so naive. Now, it's one thing. Okay, yeah, I'll sit here and admit, yeah, I don't know how my son acts in school, but I'm not going to be naive about it.
Yeah.
If you tell me my son's a prick, then okay, my son's a prick.
Yeah.
So we would tell these kids, your son was beating me up. Oh, no, Jason would never do that. Yeah. He would never. No, he's a good boy. He's got straight A's. And there were always these yuppie fucking parents. I grew up poor.
The yuppies and the fucking boomers, man. I tell you. They are such fucking assholes.
Yeah. And it seemed like every bully was either their parents were these rich yuppie. I mean, I say rich loosely. I mean, to like I said, I grew up poor. So if you had $5 in your pocket, you were rich to me. If your mommy and daddy had a house that they were owning and not renting, you were rich to me. You know, so the poor kids never picked on each other. I hardly ever seen one kid who was poor or in and around the poverty level that was bullying other kids. It was always the preps, or what we call preps, the ritzy kids.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. Yeah, no, indeed. You know, and the one thing I really taught my daughter was how to fight. She almost got kidnapped. I don't know if you've heard some of those broadcasts that I've done where I talk about how my daughter was almost kidnapped.
You had mentioned it. Yeah, you had mentioned it to me one time, I think, behind the scenes.
Oh, right. There we go. Well, what happens, the best thing I could teach her was that I just said, darling, you're going to start to learn how to fight. And she got so good to the point where we'd get into each other. And of course, I can't go too hell for leather on her when we're sparring because she's only young. But the thing is, she came up as she was getting older and she started throwing some heavy weight for a skinny girl. And she's like, she'd come up and she makes this noise with her mouth. We've got this, thing where it's like a video game where she'll go, ish, 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 ish. And she'd come up and just jump at me and go, ish, 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 and start. And I'd have bruises on my arms. Now, of course, she couldn't drop me, of course, you know, like I've rarely been dropped by men bigger than me. But the thing is, she was like doing some collateral damage. I said, now, darling, that's what you need to do the next time somebody tries to kidnap you. You stick your fingers in his eyeballs, even if he's going to die, as gross as it sounds. You come up, you smash, 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 smash. So whilst I am on, I do agree that, and I think that we need to be bullied a bit to become a fighter, and be able to defend ourselves. Kidnapping or advanced bullying can go fuck itself, sort of thing. Of course.
Yeah, when I say we need to be bullied, what I mean is the school system needs to. The best advice I ever got from a teacher was a gym teacher. And he told me straight up, he said, dude, if you're getting picked on, if you're getting pushed around in the locker room, you know, I'm like 11, 12 years old. I'm scrawny. You know, a lot of the kids are bigger than me. I'm only 5'7". I'm not a big guy.
Right.
And so, you know, when I was 12, I was like, 4'9". So he's like, if you're getting picked on in school, if you're getting pushed around and I can't help you and no other teachers around,
Smash him in the face.
The teacher says, I don't care what school policy says. You as a human being have a right to defend yourself. You clock him in his teeth. I said, but won't I get expelled? He says, I don't care if you get expelled or suspended. You have a right to defend yourself. And he says, have you talked to your parents about this? I said, yeah, my dad said the same thing you said. He said, listen to your dad. He says, this was a gym teacher. He says, I will back you up if it comes down to you going to the principal's office. And he did. One time in eighth grade, like I said, this is when I got pulled out of school the rest of that year. So I was 13 years old in the locker room. This is where a lot of fights happen because, you know, boys can corner you without the teacher knowing about it. They don't have staff in the locker room areas. So he's just, you know, this one kid's just hit me. So I just turn around and I clock him.
Yeah.
And I realized, okay, I hit the kid. It stunned him and it busted his lip open. He wasn't expecting that from little old me. So I grabbed my shit. I walked around the other side of the lockers, straight into the teacher's office, sat down, and he said, did you fight him? Because he knew about the bully. He knew who he was. I said, yep. He says, okay. So the kid come barging in. He hit me. And the teacher said, you sit your ass down. He says, you've been picking on him all year. You deserved it.
Yeah.
So he called the principal. He told the principal what happened. He said, Josh, you go home. Casey, you stay there. I went home. By the time I got home, my dad's on the phone with the principal. He had it on speakerphone. I walk in the door. I swear to God, Sean, this was almost the exact dialogue. Your son was in school today. And well, first my dad says, well, back up, repeat what you're telling me. She says, well, your son was in school today and he got into a fight with a bully that's been bothering him. all year long, and your son hit him and busted his lip open really bad. And we want to know what you think we should do about it. My dad says, give him a beer. Excuse me? We can't do that. My dad says, no, you don't understand. He says, my son has been dealing with bullying all year long. And the previous year, when I got my face busted with a lock at 12, he says, and you guys haven't done a damn thing. You don't let him stand up for himself. You don't let him fight back. He's afraid that if he does, he's going to get suspended or expelled. And I finally tell him to fight back. And you guys want to know what I want to do about it.
Yeah.
I'm pulling him out of school. And that's what happened.
Yep. I got done for stabbing a teacher in the foot, but that's another story. What happens? Not with a knife. I stabbed her in the foot with a lead pencil. But I've discussed it briefly on the shows in the past. But she deserved it. What happens is and then they gave me the option to leave or be expelled, and I said I'll just leave. But anyway, what happens is a similar story to what you've gone through there, Josh. There was this kid that kept bullying me at school, and it wouldn't stop. You know, it's one thing to bully a person once in a while. It's another, to bully people, every goddamn day to make your life miserable to the point where you might want to hang yourself. And so what happens is my stepbrother actually started showing me how to fight at the time. My adoptive mum, had me there for quite a while, and I was, but anyway, what happens is, this kid come up behind me and just smacked me right in the back of the head with a closed fist.
Oh God, I hate that.
Didn't even do it to my face.
You want to trigger me? Hit me in the back of the head.
Yeah, exactly. Like he didn't even do it to the face. Like he could have faced me, but he didn't. He just smacked me in the back of the head just to bully. It wasn't because I'd done anything wrong. But and I just sort of stood there, and I turned around, and he smacked me right in the face then, and I just sort of stood there. And my stepbrother, after being started teaching me how to fight, he jumped to his feet, and he went, Sean, hit him! Fucking hit him! So I just went, fucking bam! And I just dropped him right on his ass. And I walked over to him, I looked right down at him, and I went, you fucking touch me again, I'll kick your fucking face in. And I walked away. And my brother was like, that's the way to do it. You don't take crap like that. You didn't do anything wrong. And ever since, that sort of created in me a complex. And that's why I've started boxing, and that's why I put my son through boxing. Both of us know how to fight quite fucking well. So when people, you know, when people want to mess with us, they've got to know what they're messing with. No, I think that...
Oh, my God, Sean. What? Whatever, Sean. Oh, my God. Boxing? No, Sean. Plant-based and BJJ, Sean. Plant-based. It's the precious. The precious.
The precious.
Sorry, apparently Sinead broke in the broadcast.
The precious. She does look like Gollum, by the way, and we both know who we're talking about.
My God, man. I mean, somebody had sent a couple videos of her doing some grappling. I'm not a big fan of Brazilian jiu-jitsu because all it is the groundwork of judo, Kodokan judo.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, that's right.
And here's the thing. There's no wrestling aspect in it. Now, if you were to add some Greco-Roman wrestling, I think Brazilian jiu-jitsu would be good. But then you would just be making it judo again. So why not just do Kodokan judo? Which
right.
is a nice, complete style of grappling. Or, better yet, do the grandfather of it, actual jiu-jitsu, which is more incorporative, and it has striking and kicking in it.
I have, you know what, in her comments
all it
area.
All it is, it's blowjob jiu-jitsu.
You're right. In their comments area, she actually says that they're actually teaching striking. But in all the videos that I've seen, I've had emails coming in showing me these bit shoot videos. And I'm calling them shit shoot videos at the moment because it's grenade that's on them. But what happens is literally you can see that there's no striking in their contest. And I'm thinking, Jesus, you come up against a boxer, especially if you mix a boxer with a street fighter. You know, when you've had to live on the street and learn how to street fight, and look, I've lost two fights in the ring, and I've not lost a fight on the street. So you come up against a boxer, but even more dangerous boxer slash street fighter. You think your grappling's gonna work? Oh my god, you better hope that you can get rid of that golem and build yourself up to He-Man. Seriously. It's a fucking joke.
I was watching a video. She was, now first of all, again, I'm not very fond of Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. And to be fair, I've never done it. I did it a little bit when I was doing, I was taking Taekwondo several years back, and they also taught Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. So one guy that I sparred with a lot, he was really good with that. And so he and I worked with stuff. Now I do primarily, Aikido and other forms of grappling from, Chinese Kung Fu systems. People think Kung Fu is just punching and kicking and weird shit. No. That's Hollywood horse shit. Actual Kung Fu incorporates everything.
That is true. That is true. If I may interrupt, yeah. I don't mean to cut you off so much, but I'm a talker. What happens is, that is absolutely true. My nephew is really good at Kung Fu. My brother does Kung Fu. He does a little bit of, modern ninjutsu rather than the ancient ninjutsu. He also does Aikido. And one of the things he always kicks my ass with is Aikido. So I said to him just recently that I want to start learning Aikido so I can counter the moves. Because even as a boxer, the people in Aikido, see, in Kung Fu and in Karate and all of that and ninjutsu, a boxer can still have a fighting chance. I've seen boxers really take people down.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, when it comes to Aikido, oh, dude, they, as you know, being in Aikido, they can use your moves against you and use your own weight against you and all of that.
You have to do it right. Now, here's the thing about Aikido. Now, where I go, it's different. Now, where I go, it's actually a blend. What the guy teaches is a blend. So your core, the core of what you learn at where I go is boxing. Okay, that's your core. You have to have good stand up, and you have to have that Western boxing, and then you throw in kickboxing. So you get to learn your feet. And then from there you work on basic judo and grappling. And then from there, then you work on Kung Fu, which is more incorporated strikes and grappling and joint locking techniques, and then you can learn some more advanced stuff like nerve points and things like that. And then you learn Aikido, which he mainly uses Aikido for weapon disarms. So somebody has a gun against your head, or coming at you with a knife or a baseball bat, that's where it works well. The problem with most Aikido people is you look at traditional Aikido, it's too soft. It is too soft and it is too choreographed.
Yeah,
I am sorry. And this is coming from someone who practices Aikido. The difference is my style of Aikido is not traditional. It's combative. So
right,
where somebody might block a punch or deflect a punch and then come in with like what I call a clothesline or an arimi nagi. Well, that arimi nagi, instead of coming with a forearm, I'm hitting you with an elbow and I'm breaking your fucking jaw or I'm knocking you out.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm not going to be pretty. Anyway, real quick. Shit, what was I going to say? God damn it. I lost my train of thought. Fuck it. Go on.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. And, you know, when it comes to the scripted martial arts and scripted boxing, I don't always use it. One of the trainers, I won't use his name because he wouldn't like me saying this. He's against what I'm about to say, and he does listen to the show. He's probably going to scold me for this. But one of my trainers actually said straight out, he said, Sean, he said, you grew up partially on the streets. I said, that's right. And he said, you've no doubt been street fighting. I went, that's right. And he goes, street fighting and boxing is a lethal injection. He said, you be careful. I do not want you using both at the same time. And of course, I didn't say to him that I already have. But seriously,
my instructor is a tad different. He's a Vietnam veteran, and so he's military trained for one. He's seen combat, actual combat. You know, he's not just a Vietnam era veteran. No, he's combat veteran. So he's combat trained, combat experienced. He's seen shit, done shit. Doesn't like to talk about it. but he will show you what he learned in the military and through his instructors. And the shit is deadly. Now, he'll tell you straight up, and other instructors that work under him say the same thing. Pretty does not get you home. You know, if all you know how to do is throw and this is the thing. This is why your core has got to be boxing and or kickboxing. Learn how to use those hands. Learn how to get balanced.
I've got the longest legs on the face of the planet. The biggest part of my body is my legs. What happens is my torso is actually quite short, but my legs are long. So what happens is I did do a little bit of kickboxing for a while. And let me just, before you continue, because I hadn't finished my story, the one thing he said was this. He said, street fighting mixed with any fighting is lethal. It's absolutely lethal, and you will probably kill somebody. So he said, look, if you're doing street fighting and martial arts and all of this sort of thing, and I'm not a great martial artist, even though I've got long legs and everything. I did pretty good at kickboxing, but I'm not great at taekwondo or anything because I didn't do enough training. But when it comes to boxing, I'm pretty good. I'm a good amateur. I do some collateral damage. But when it comes to street fighting, putting it on top of it, he says, don't do it. You will end up killing someone. And I truly believe that with, as you know, like the fight I got in just recently down at the, on the rail trail, I really hurt this dude and I sat him up and he was beaten bad and I sat him up and, your microphone's making some noise there. You need to wiggle the connection.
Uh-oh.
There we go. So what happens is, I sort of thought, shit, you used a bit of boxing and street fighting there, and you could have hurt the guy real... Well, I did hurt the guy real bad. The captain saw him and said, holy God. You know, seriously, street fighting, if you mix it with anything... So if you were using Aikido, and you mix a bit of street fighting with it, a bit of street fighting knowledge with it, you can save yourself if some dude's trying to kill you with a knife or a gun. Are you there?
You know, yeah, I was just setting my phone up. Yeah, no. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, I appreciate traditional styles, like traditional Aikido, but the problem I have is, for example, it's hard for me to explain this, you know, via, online and talking about it. But if you look at a traditional Aikido setup, you know, if they're showing you a technique, of course there's going to be, you know, some choreography graph there because they have to show how the technique is worked.
That's right.
The problem is they show it from a very traditional standpoint. So it's like, okay, the attacker comes at you and they're coming at you with the overhand chop. And so from there you do an X block and then you turn their hand this way and then you can spin on it. Well, first of all, no one's going to come at you with an overhand chop unless they might have a weapon. So why don't you just put a weapon in his hand and go from there? Why not just go to that step? Why make it so stupid? You know, and like they'll have guys just run at them. Well, no one's going to fucking be that dumb just to run at you unless they have a weapon or something. So why not just go from there? My instructor had to throw out a lot. I mean, a lot of traditional Aikido stuff in order to make it work.
Yeah. You know, my brother being a martial artist of so many different martial arts, he's taught me quite a few things that you can use with boxing as well. You don't even necessarily have to go into street fighting mode. One of the things that I really love is the ridge hand, where instead of coming across from the back of the forearm and then go on bam, you come in with the front of the forearm into the neck and go bam like that. So you fold your thumb into your hand. This show has really became brutal. Poor Mike's going to listen to this and go, holy fuck, I do comedy, assholes. But what you do is you fold your thumb in and come through with the front ridge hand and then bam into the throat and it stops them breathing for a brief moment. Once they drop to the ground because they're trying to catch their breath, that's when you can knee them in the face or come down with the top elbow and bam, down on the nose. There's so many techniques.
And here's the weird thing. All that, everything you said, the ridge hand, using the knee at a certain spot, and a drop-down elbow, that's found in crane-style kung fu.
Oh, there we go. See, I don't necessarily know the martial arts well. My brother does, though. He's really good. My nephew knows Kung Fu well. My brother knows many martial arts. He's taught me quite a few things that have really saved me. You know, when I got stabbed in the leg in George Street in Sydney, what I did to stop him, he stabbed me in the leg and then he slashed me across the chest. Now, the only reason he slashed me across the chest is because I came in with the ridge hand. He stabbed me in the leg, and unlike the movies where they show you that a man runs off after being stabbed, you don't do that. It went all the way to the bone. So I dropped to the knee. And he then slashed me, he was about to slash me, and I just went bam with the ridge hand. And then he slashed me across the chest. And the sergeant, the acting sergeant at the time, said, the reason you're alive today is because you got him in the throat and him and his mates took off. Because he was he was aiming for your throat with the knife. I went, what for? And he said, sorry?
No, good. Well, I was just going to recommend. I mean, next time you're like, let's say if you're sparring, let's say you get, you know, you're good to practice this. So instead of going with the ridge hand to the throat, because that really requires you to step to the side because of the way your arm is angled. If you take your hand, instead of folding that thumb in, open it up to where you have that webbing between your thumb and your index finger open. That's your weapon. Come straight in.
Well, this was Josh, this was years ago. I was still learning. So what happens is abos are quite short. I was actually on one of my knees. The other knee was up and I had to reach up to do the ridge hand. That's how difficult that was. Yeah. But it cut his windpipe off long enough for his mates to come and grab him and then take off. But these days he wouldn't stand a chance. If he had come near me, even close to me, I would have been on the ball. This is going back years. Crap. I'd have to look at the, hospital thing that they gave me, the hospital slip, but
the thing about martial is over the years, I mean, I can do a whole show on this, but over the years, and we're talking centuries. Fighting is universal. Fighting is simple. You have two hands, you got two legs, you've got two elbows, you've got a head, you've got shoulders you can use, you've got two knees.
Yeah.
That's about it. Okay. So I don't care if you're from China, Japan, Greece, the Philippines, parts of Europe,
Mars,
South America, it doesn't matter. Yeah. You're going to have the same fighting techniques. They're just called different things. You know, in Kung Fu, the way you use your ridge hand, that's the wing of a crane. Well,
that's right.
That's because that's what they called it. You know, in other places, it might be called something else. I just call it a ridge hand like you. It's just using that part of the body in that particular manner. An elbow is, again, part of using Wing Chun or crane Kung Fu, because that elbow, anytime you use your arms, it's like the wing of a crane.
That's
so
right.
You can use your elbow or the hand. So, again, what we call it doesn't matter. No matter where you go, these fighting techniques are there. It's universal.
And then you can add your own as well.
I kind of hate it when people say
that you can add your. We're about to come up to a break. You can add your own as well. For instance, one thing I've noticed about all of us boxers, you know, when I'm on the bag and they're on the bag, I see certain techniques coming from other boxers and I'm thinking, he swings slightly different to me. Look at him. Like he's right. And I'm sort of like, I can sort of adopt that idea, but I'll never get it as right as what he does. We all have, whether it be martial arts, and this is important to know, ladies and gentlemen, this is why we're talking about it. Self-defense. You need to have some form of self-defense. When my little girl almost got kidnapped, the first thing I said was, I am going to teach my self-defense onto her. And by God, she got good at it. And she's good at it to this day. So what happens is, you learn your own technique. In the end, you end up like going bam, bam, and you look at someone else and think, oh, they've got a slightly different technique to me, but this is mine. And you deal with it. As you would deal with anything. Anyway, we've come to that break. Ladies and gentlemen, talking with Josh, that's going to be doing a show here soon on WTFR about a great many things, and we're going to be playing a clip after this. Josh, I'm not sure whether you can still stay with us, but I hope so. And I will play that clip after the break.
Yo, man, this is Leroy Shalom, the original black Israelite, Hebrewite nigger, and I got to say, if you want to tune in to Mr. Surplus, Mr. Sean, a.k.a. Surplus, then use a cracker. If you listen to WTFR, fool, you ain't nothing but a woodpecker crackle racist nigga motherfucker that needs to be gotten rid of, G. Fuck WTFR and Mr. Surplus, G.
One of Mike's selections for news white people can use. We are filling in for Mike at the present time. We've been talking about a great range of things. I will get a detailed description out there as soon as I've made some notes and everything once the show is done. So give me a bit of time. With me, of course, is Josh. Now, Josh, I'm going to be playing this clip here, which goes for... let me have a quick look. It goes for 12 minutes, so it's going to allow us to kick back a bit. The reason being is because there's a young lady by the name of Daphne, and she's been listening to Tabitha's shows. I'm not sure whether she listens to the others, but I do know she listens to Tabitha. And she threw a shout-out to WTFR and also Tabitha's show, White Wellness. Now, as it's playing, of course, Josh, if you need me to pause it at any time to make a comment, all you have to do is say, Sean, pause it, and then we'll discuss it accordingly, okay?
Okay, sounds good.
All right.
Hey friends, it's Daphne, and welcome back to my bathtub. Welcome back to my channel. If you're new here, you should totally subscribe because I'm going to be doing some pretty crazy stuff, including reading you an excerpt, a very juicy excerpt from my diary. Yes, but just because I'm reading this from my diary does not mean that this video is done alone. In fact, I have had 3 people helped me make this video, and they deserve a shout out. So, let's begin the video with explaining all of the fun help that I have received in coming up with this amazing list. So, for starters, the idea for the entire video comes from Vegan Deterioration, who posted an original video entitled 3 Random Questions for Vegans. And boy, was it good. Then, I bounced the idea off of my friend Penny Lane from Vintage Penny Lane, and she had some stuff to add to it. And then Tabitha from WTFR, she posted 2 back-to-back ex-vegan, anti-vegan shows in a row, and they just blew my mind, and I was like, this video has to happen. So I want to give those 3 ladies a shout-out. And thank you for all of your help and being a sounding board and helping me create better content. And without further ado, I'm going to read to you what I wrote in my diary, which is a list of 7 questions that I have for vegans, which you might want to have for vegans, and which vegans might want to have for themselves. Now listen, if you're a vegan and you're watching this and you want to answer these questions, keep in mind that you're free to lie your ass off and just say whatever you want to say that sounds amazing to answer these questions in the comment section. You have all of that ability. You can lie. But can you continue lying to yourself? Okay? That's the bigger question. You can say stupid answers to these that nobody's going to fucking believe, but at the end of the day, answer these questions for yourself, to yourself, and see how the answers make you feel. In my opinion, this is a series of questions which could cause a person to self-reflect in a way that makes them understand that there might be no way in hell that veganism is correct or good or even normal or natural. Like, I'm going to give you the questions and you can do with them what you will. You can copy them, paste them, put them in the comment section and answer them. You can answer them to yourself. If you're a non-vegan and you want to use this later for ammunition to have an argument with a vegan, write these questions down, because vegans need to answer these questions for us and for the whole world, and mostly for themselves. They need to answer these questions for themselves. The first question comes from Vegan Deterioration, who asks vegans, how often do you dream about eating non-vegan food? I follow that up with a second question, which would be, if so, how often? Now, I've interviewed a ton of ex-vegans and even some current vegans, and I have to tell you that there is a trend, and the trend is that they do very frequently have ranch dressing dreams, chicken dreams, steak or cheese dreams, cream cheese on a bagel dream.
Chicken dreams, Josh.
Ranch dressing dreams. I just cringe at that. I can't stand ranch dressing. But
I just laugh at the fact that you're saying they're having chicken dreams. It cracks me up. They do. You know, like I've met many vegetarians and vegans in my life, and one of the things I've noticed is that they actually do actually have chicken dreams. Like I say, but come on now, be honest. Don't lie to me. You must dream about eating chicken once in a while. Oh yeah, I dream about chicken, and here's the justification they come up with. But it's if we're to say it in the Tabitha's language, it's tranny chicken. It's fake chicken. So I do dream about chicken, but it's fake chicken.
I wonder when they have these dreams if it's not like a nightmare for them. Oh my god, I ate a lamb chop.
Oh, that turkey. The turkey's got its head half cut off. It's got its head half cut off, Josh. Oh, the poor turkey. Let's continue this.
Ranch dressing dreams, chicken dreams, steak or cheese dreams, cream cheese on a bagel dream. This happens, okay? So the number one question to vegans is, do you dream about non-vegan foods? And my secondary question to that is, if so, how often? Number three, how often do you eat or use fake meat, fake milk, fake butter, fake eggs, or fake cheeses? Now, like I said, you can be a total asshole and just say, oh, I don't dream about any non-vegan foods. I'm perfect. Send my ass to vegan fucking heaven. Or you could just say the truth. You could also lie and say, well, I don't eat fake meat, and I don't eat fake milk, and I don't eat fake butter. I only eat kale and vegetables because that's how you do veganism appropriately. Blah, 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 blah.
She's fantastic. She's got the whole going on. Like, just when I recently done this the clip. I've got to play our clip, by the way, Josh. I'm going to play that before the show ends, so I better continue this one. But geez, yeah, she's got the whole.
Go on.
Continue lying to yourself. We're not going to believe you, but you can continue lying to yourself. Four. This is a really, really good question. Have you ever thought that something tasted too good to be vegan? And maybe you later found out it wasn't totally vegan, or somebody didn't read the label appropriately, and you trusted them, and it wasn't actually vegan, and you could tell because it tasted too good. Well, that's also asking you the question of, do you like the taste of animal products? Duh, of course you do. But no, go ahead and leave a comment and say, you don't like the taste of animal products. You don't eat any fake animal products, and you sure...
Isn't it funny that they say that they don't like the taste of animal products, but yet they get by meats that mimic the taste of animal products?
Yeah.
Well, that's what they do. Here they are saying, I don't want to eat meat. I don't want to eat something that tastes like meat, but yet they're buying a fake meat that tastes like meat and mimics even the shape of meat. Right?
I don't get that. I was just like, why? What is the purpose?
It's just fucking ridiculous. It's ridiculous.
I don't like the taste of animal products. You don't eat any fake animal products, and you sure as hell don't dream about eating anything but a salad. You can go ahead and lie like that, like I said, but what's the truth at the end of the day? You're the one who has to go to sleep with that truth, okay? Number 5, do you feel personally offended when you encounter an ex-vegan? This might be like a small red flag for some people, but ultimately, like, this is a serious issue. If you encounter an ex-vegan and it causes you instant anxiety, you might want to evaluate why. Number 6, how do you feel when you see children or hear adults say that they don't like vegetables, that they don't eat vegetables, or that they don't like fruits and vegetables? How do you feel when you see a compilation of a video of 50 children in a row going "Bleh," to broccoli or spinach or cabbage? How does that make you feel? Do you feel personally attacked? Do you feel personally offended when that happens? Because that's something that you might want to investigate. And my 7th and final question is, do you feel, or have you had an increasing amount of the feelings of, say, misanthropy or psychopathy? So do you hate other people? Do you hate the world? Do you wish back?
See, that's where I disagree with her. I spoke about this with Tabitha, in fact, just recently, where... misanthropy is not what it's made out to be these days. These people that call for rape and killings and everything here, that's not a misanthrope.
No, that show that Tabs did the other night. Yeah, I sat there when I heard that audio clip. I was like, are you fucking kidding me?
They're not misanthropes. These people are psychotic.
They're psychotic.
Exactly. And I want Daphne to know this. I'm going to be sending Daphne this show. That's not a misanthrope. A misanthrope is a person who distances his or herself from people because they've just had enough of the behaviors that are going on today, and they tend to become an introvert, which I don't think is a bad thing either. That's been another word that's been made to be perverted. What happens is a misanthrope does not call death on people, does not call rape on people. That's absolute crap. A true misanthrope just wants to stay away from the populace, the population, because of the behaviors that are at the task at hand. So, and I'm sure when she looks at the definition in the Merriam-Webster, she'll probably get that. But the thing is, that's one thing where I do disagree with her. Like, these people that are actually claiming misanthropy really should be separated from vegans. Vegans are a psychotic fucking thing. Misanthropes are not. I do not wish rape or death on people just because of one thing or another. Unless it's pedophilia. If there's pedophilia, not even misanthropy comes into that. It's misanthropes don't even come into that. That's just a natural human reaction to want to get rid of somebody that's going to hurt a child, you know.
Do you hate other people? Do you hate the world? Do you wish bad things on people? So are you so jaded by veganism that you want to be completely isolated because you hate people? And is that hatred creeping into being a psychopath and wishing them to die and wishing people to be raped and murdered because they use animal products? Is your veganism causing you to hate humanity and lose your faith in humanity as a whole? So... That's a really good question. And the answer in almost all these situations is yes. The vegan agenda comes with the agenda of the world is overpopulated, people are fucking terrible, get a vasectomy, have an abortion, stop breeding. So if this is your mentality, then the answer to this question is probably pretty often. How often do you feel these things? Do you feel misanthropic? Do you feel like you think it's okay for people to die because they ate contaminated meat simply because they...
Again, I really want to reiterate this, especially for Daphne. Misanthropes do not wish death on people. So, you know, I agree with the predominant thing that you're saying when it comes to, you know, the vegans and everything like that. But when it comes to misanthropes, we do not. I'm a misanthrope, but I do not wish death on people. They have perverted the term, just as they perverted the term racist. You know, once upon a time, racism was known as identifying the differences between race, identifying the differences between those races when it comes to the inferiorities and superiorities. But now it's been it's a total different thing. I've got 15 dictionaries. Now, what happens is what they're trying to do is pervert these low-down scumbags are trying to pervert the term misanthrope. No, we are not like that. What we are is saying we distance ourselves from people and we want to help the world remotely so that we can become social again. That's all it means. You've got to be clear on exactly what these terms mean before we speak about them. And I'm sure she will. I'm sure, Josh, that she will work out the difference between the right and wrong terms, you know, in between dictionaries. Are you there, Josh? Josh. Okay, Josh might be gone.
Yeah, no, I'm here. I was responding in the chat. Sorry.
Oh, okay.
Sorry, I thought you'd continue with the video.
Oh, no. I'm pretty much finished. I've played as much as what I wanted to. I wanted to cover both sides, the veganism side, but also the misanthrope side, and I've done just that. So what say you, sir?
I agree. I mean, it boggles the mind as how these people, of course, I'm not targeting Daphne, but how the vegans make that claim and how unfortunately she mistakenly calls them that. And they're not. They're fucking psychotic.
Yeah.
And Set Free, I was looking at what Set Free had written in the comments here. He said it's funny how they how the vegans proclaim diversity and tolerance like the Jews do. Yet if you and I want to be diverse in how we eat, well then they don't tolerate that. You know, so it's just like they're fucking hypocrites.
No, absolutely. Here they are. Yeah, exactly. Well, the vegans are sitting there saying, yeah, you can't do this, you can't do that. But then all of a sudden, if you eat meat, I want to fucking have you raped and killed. You know, like on Tab's show, we had that clip played that actually showed they were trying to say, well, you know, women and men alike need to be raped if they dare indulge in animal foods. Oh, they're so peaceful. They're so hippie-like. They're so greeny-like. They're so everything, and they're so righteous. But then, yeah, no, absolutely. Look, I think on the most part, Daphne has done a good job. I do think that she needs to sort of tidy up the idea of what she knows about a misanthrope, and I'm sure she will. She's got a good head on her shoulders. I had to listen to that whole clip before I brought it to the broadcast, hence why I stopped it where I did, because that's about as far as I wanted to go.
Right.
Before we actually, we're coming to the end of the show in just over 10 minutes. What happens, in fact, a little less. What happens is I want to play one of the breaks, the new breaks that's going to be for TCTA. And and I'm sure Mike will like it on his show as well. Ladies and gentlemen, this is for all the vegans out there. You ready for it? So there's this rich, tall lady that's walking down the street and she's wearing a fur coat, ladies and gentlemen. Well, what happens is a short, young lady walks up to her and says, "Do you know how many poor little animals had to die for you to get that coat?" And the big, tall lady looked down at the young lady and said, "Do you know how many rich animals I had to fuck to get this coat?" Yeah, this sort of shit goes on. Poor little vegans. There we go. How's that one? How's that one, Josh? That's going to be a welcomed break to TCTA.
You know, Sean, I don't think you're being very inclusive here. It's not very fair for you to make fun of the vegans the way you are. I find it not very kosher at all, Sean. I would be very, very, very quick to file a suit on to say that you're liable, Sean. You're very unhinged, Sean. I don't find that very kosher at all.
Oh, you motherfucker, Mr. Sheffield. I'm sick to death of you preaching to me. I'm a shiksa. You gotta bow down and give me some shiksa rights, you motherfucker. I'm sick to death. I live in the Bronx. I'm a Bronx Jew. You have some fucking respect. Otherwise, I'll kill 6 million of your fucking Sheffields.
Oh, God, it's like another show. Barry, come back here, Barry. You need to talk to him, please. You're on your own, Murray. Oh, God, Sean. Barry says I'm on my own. I don't know what to do. I'm a little scared. I talked to my uncle Mordecai. He was in the Holocaust, and he had a divorce from his wife because she claimed that she didn't have any family members that died in the Holocaust, and he just couldn't live with that. Well, you know what they say. The family that shows together stays together, Sean.
Oh, look at the chat room. Look at what we're doing to the chat room. We've got Joe Bunker in there, and he's one of our Jews, goddammit. Oh, look at him. He's saying, yet those same people will welcome third worlders in by their millions and not see any contradiction. Oh, the Jew tears are flowing, I'm telling you.
Sean, what Jew banker will fail to acknowledge and will not admit? He actually works for me, Sean. He's a good goy. That's why he's called Jew banker. He's a good Shabbos goy, Sean. He's our accountant.
Oh, that's good. Oh, now you've put a smile on my hook nose face. Oh, it's great. Oh, now I'm gonna go and jerk off for a while. Okay, I'll be right back. I'll put the other Sean back on.
Hey, how you going? Whoever that was just off the cuff stupid. I have no idea who they were. Josh, there's no Jews in my household or anything like that. No. Oh, the fun. Mike's going to have a listen to this show and he's going to go, holy fuck.
You know, Mike is bothered by that Atlanta traffic. You know, all those niggas down there. I'm sorry, African Americans. You know, they're in the Atlantic traffic. I made the mention. You know, what he should do is say, hey, you know, Kentucky Fried Chicken, half off prices. You know, the clear traffic. Yeah, it's a 2 for 2. You win. You do it.
Oh, that's brilliant. That's brilliant. Half prices. I would never have thought that when I was working in the banking system. Oh, that's excellent. Yeah, when he's driving home, there's a half price. Oh, go.
Yo, motherfucker, half price.
Yeah, half price. Get out of here. Get out of here. It's all done.
Yo, motherfucker. Listen here, you cracker ass motherfucker. I'm not white, I'm Jewish. What difference does that make, nigga? Well, we Jews were the ones that ran the slave ships for you people. What'd you say, you fucking Jew motherfucker? I think that's going to be one of my skits for the Goldstein Brothers episodes.
You've got to have fun with it, that's for sure. Yeah. Oh, I've got to play that thing because what happens is Josh and I got together during the week and we made a little skit together without knowing it. What happens is because we do a CB style B back and forth, I've got to play this break. I haven't played it yet, have I? No. Hold on.
No.
Here we go. This is Mr. Sheffield's Unicorn, because people get to hear it on the stream, Josh, but they don't get to hear it on 107.9 FM unless I put it on the actual shows, the live shows. So, ladies and gentlemen, this is Mr. Sheffield's Unicorn. WTFR.
Sean, here at NPR, we know what radio is, Sean. It is whispering into the microphone, and it is sitting here with our chamomile tea while listening to flute music. I just took my Prozac. Today, Sean, we're going to have an African-American, bisexual, transgender, fluid gender, male identifying as a seahorse. And they're going to tell us, or Zen are going to tell us what they think about climate change and how gun control is used to stop climate change, Sean. So, welcome back to NPR.
What? You mentioned gay, trans, and all sorts of other things there, Josh, but you didn't mention animal sex, LGBTQHIVAS, animal sex. LGBTQHIVAS. You have to include the AS. This is not just about gender. This is not just about race. This is not just about... Right? This is also about animal sex. Soon you will be able to marry a horse. And by God, you didn't include that, so you're in trouble now. I've invited a Jew on, and he's going to let you fucking have it. Let him have it, kike boy.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. You've destroyed the whole idea of me fucking a unicorn, you bastard. You fucking bastard, Mr. Sheffield. How dare you? I wanted to fuck a unicorn. You're telling me that I have to... Oh, my God. Just don't. Oh, the tears are flowing. I need a bucket. Someone get me a fucking bucket.
1650 AM, Tonawanda, New York.
107.9 FM. WTFR.
We're bored and free.
And there we go, ladies and gentlemen. That was Josh and I having a little bit of fun during the week. All right, well, where are we? 57... Yeah, we're just about to come to the end of the show. Hey, Josh, thanks for joining me, dude, for the full 2 hours. I do appreciate it. Yep. And I look forward to having you on the network. It's going to be a great time, I'm sure. We're going to be able to educate and entertain. Great stuff. Thanks for joining me.
Thanks.
Ladies and gentlemen, the common sense of veganism. There's some vegans out there that have chickens but don't eat eggs, right? Well, what the fuck do they have them there for? What, just to molt? Jesus Christ. Imagine if one laid an egg. Bad chicken. Bad chicken. How dare you create something that people can eat? You're as bad as that cow that gets milked across the street. Bad chicken. Fuck. I mean, really, ladies and gentlemen, where has the common sense gone? It's gone to hell.
Ventura, tell me, I'm so scared.